This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, a few hours ago, the calendar turned to August, and that means the Douglas County Fair is that much closer, starting 8 days from today. Dan Holtz is the fairgrounds manager, and Sierra Keith runs business and administrative operations. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So, first of all, can you believe it's almost here?
No, you know, it's this year just seems to be flying by with everything we're doing out there at the fairgrounds, because everything is getting back to normal and since the last couple of years, and all the events that we've had and new events and things that are going on, it's just one after another.
So talk about the fair overall this year. It does seem like a lot is going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on this year. We have boosted our grounds acts up a little bit, you know, throughout the year. We have Cowgirl Tricks joining us this year with Rock Bottom Boys. Buck Trout's coming back. Of course, we have Sterling the Bubble Smith. The kids really like that Bubble Smith, so we like to bring him back every year. And we have Circus Imaginations, which is brought to us by the Mercy Foundation. It's going to go down where people normally went down and watched, like the Dock Dogs. We've had them down there, the Jumping Extreme Dogs, I guess I should say. And this is Circus Imagination, as they set up three big circus tents, and it's all interactive with people. It's interactive with kids. They have straw bales laid out. It's a pretty neat deal, and we were glad to get them to come to our fair this year.
So talk about the main stage entertainment. What's planned?
Well, the main stage entertainment, of course, Wednesday is we're going to have bull riding in the grandstands. And that starts at 7 p.m. In the main entertainment we have kicking off on Thursday, it will be Craig Morgan, and he's going to be singing in the Cascade Community Credit Union Amphitheater at 7:30. And then on Friday night we have 38 Special, and they're going to be at 7:30 also. And then Neil McCoy will be on Saturday at 8 p.m. on the main stage.
So a lot of things planned. Now, you mentioned the bull riding being over in the what did you call that area?
The grandstands.
Grandstands. So I'm pretty sure the bull riding isn't actually in the grandstands.
No, it's not.
I'm guessing the people are in the grandstands.
It has been before.
Well, but I mean, I'm just being a literalist here.
Hopefully they don't get there.
Yeah, if they get that far, you've got other issues.
Problems.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. A lot going on, and one of the things with Fair Sierra is the 4-H and FFA activities, bringing the kids in. Talk about that.
Yeah, I have heard that we have a record number of steer coming in this year.
Beef,
and then we've got pigs, and we've got all kinds of things going on with them. They're going to be doing competitions. They have a day where they get to put costumes on their animals and show them. And then, of course, the auction is on Saturday. So that's what their main goal is to look forward to at the end of the week, is to do their shows and then auction their animals off on Saturday.
And really, that aspect is kind of how county fairs began, right?
Yes.
It is. County fairs, you know, that's, you know, I always say it every year, you know, I get to go and talk to the kids, and, you know, without the 4-H and FFA and the open class, even the open class people that come in and show their goats and things, that's, you know, that's traditional fair stuff, and that's been going on for years, and that's how fair started, and it's really one of our main, we say the entertainment and stuff really bring in a lot of people, but, you know, 4-H and FFA kids bring in a lot of people for us also. People like to come watch them show and see their animals, their projects.
And I know that some other places sometimes have de-emphasized the 4-H and FFA part, and that usually has not worked out so well. You know, when they've sort of pulled that out of being a fair and just had
right,
fair that was just
right,
all the other things.
And Douglas County is so enriched with it. You know, that's one thing with Douglas County is that, you know, they understand the 4-H and the FFA. It's real thick here. So that's a good thing for us.
Now, the carnival is always popular. Talk about that.
We've got Rainier Amusements back this year, and they are doing their carnival wristbands. They are actually on pre-sale through Friday for $30. And it's a great deal. It's a great bargain to get that wristband early. It's unlimited rides all day. And then, you know, after that, they do go up. And then you can also buy the single ride passes as well day of. And they brought in some new rides this year. I think I've heard that we have 4 new rides coming this year.
Now, with the wristbands, can you buy them for more than one day?
You can. They're single use. So you could buy 4 of them if you wanted to ride for all 4 days. Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of options there. And again, you said that aspect runs through Friday, right?
Yes. Yeah. The pre-sale ends on Friday. And you can get them in the office or online.
So do they cost more than once you get to the fair?
Yes. They go up to $45 for the wristbands.
So just a little economic note, you could save $15 if you bought them this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and if that's times 1 or 2 kids or whatever, that can save you some big money.
Yeah.
So that's going on. Let's see. What about special displays and other things for people to see out there?
The Model Railroad, local Model Railroad Company, they're coming back this year in Douglas Hall, and they've got their display of the trains going through there. And then we also are going to have a lady on site doing carving of wood sculptures. That's pretty exciting to have this year. And then Douglas Timber Operators is going to be presenting their lumberjack show. They're going to be doing on Thursday night and Friday night by their new pavilion.
Yeah, and let's talk about the new pavilion. You unveiled that a week or so ago. How did that all come together?
That came together pretty well. That pavilion has been talked about for like the last 25 years of putting a permanent structure there. And Douglas County Timber Operators are the ones who, you know, first wanted to do that. And it finally came to fruition this year. And they started building it back in like March. And right now, all that's left is they just put their gutters on yesterday. And it's a beautiful, beautiful structure. And it's going to be their booth during the fair. They're, you know, displaying of timber and educational products and things like that of Douglas County Timber.
But it also gives you a structure that you can do some things with other times too.
Yeah, right? It gives us a structure throughout the year. If we want to have small birthday parties with it or things like that, we can do that.
And is that located kind of where they have always been before?
Yeah, where they always have been before. It's right there in between the Douglas Hall building and the exhibit building. And so it's right when you drive in the fairgrounds, you'll see it. It's a big, tall, nice, beautiful structure.
And now how is that? Was that something that DTO and the those organizations paid to do, or was the county in on this, or how'd that work?
No, the county didn't put a dime into it. It was all Douglas County Timber Operators and their partners, around the Douglas County. It was construction folks. It was, you know, concrete folks. It was all kinds of businesses that helped out and got the building done.
And partnerships like this, especially the way the economy works these days, has got to be a big deal to what you do at the fair.
It is, and without our partners, and Douglas County Timber Operators has been a partner of that fairgrounds for many, many, many years, and they always seem to never amaze us when what they come up with and what they want to do next, and who knows what they'll talk about next. But without our partners like that, and partners and sponsors of the fair, the Clinton Newell Auto Group and Cascade Community Credit Union with the amphitheater, and partners like that, you know, just helps the fair do what it can do.
Now let's talk about buses. Where can they be picked up this year, and how much does it cost if you don't ride the bus?
You can get picked up at the Roseburg High School, and then as well as the Green First Student Bus Lot out in Green. And it's $10 if you pay to park, or you can ride the bus for free.
And there are times of the day, and it varies day to day and with what's happening, but especially sometimes in the early evening, people who drive out there suddenly realize maybe they shouldn't have driven out there when they end up in a long line.
Yeah, I especially think Friday and Saturday are going to be super busy days, and so in the, you know, it might be something worth in the afternoon hopping on a bus.
And again, the so 2 locations this year.
Yes, yes, and they are going to, we doubled up on the amount of buses for those 2 locations, especially in the afternoons, so they'll be coming more frequently to help move people in and out of the facility.
All right, we're going to talk more about the fair when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow, Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger and Police Chief Gary Kloffenstein will be in. We'll talk about changes to the camping regulations and an update on the homeless situation in the Roseburg area. Well, we're talking about the Douglas County Fair with Dan Holtz, the Fairgrounds Manager, and Sarah Keith, who's the Business Administrative Coordinator at the fair. And commercial booths have always been interesting out there. A lot of products, a lot of things that you see, and a lot of folks that probably come from outside the area with some of the things that they have there, right?
Yeah, we have a ton of traveling vendors that come through just that. We also have a great amount of local businesses this year that are going to be coming out.
And what kinds of things, you know, do they have?
So there is always the informational local businesses that we have. Whiskey Creek Rustics will be out there. Poppy Lane will be out there. We have some Scentsy. And then what else do we have? We have new this year. Actually, we just got them the other day. It's cotton candy that is formed into different shapes like flowers or different animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to have some of these vendors this year.
So, and do you feel like the number of the commercial vendors, has that gone up this year?
It has gone up, yes, it is. We actually are sold out.
And that hasn't happened probably since the pandemic.
No, it hasn't. This has been the first year we've really came back full.
And that was a tough time for you guys to get through that. And because there was, what, no fair 1 year or two?
1 year.
And then the second year it was there, but some people went, and some people didn't.
Yes.
Right. That was a tougher year. The first year coming back from the pandemic, we probably had just about three quarters of the attendance, so a lot of people did come out. It was getting over, but it wasn't. You know, it was one of those iffy things if we were going to have a fair or not within a month or a couple of weeks out, even. You know, so we decided to go for it, and it turned out all right. And
there are so many elements to the county fair. I mean, it's spread all over the facility. When does planning for a fair begin?
It begins the day after the last fair ended. I mean, it's pretty much especially with the entertainment and things like that. The buyers are on you right away, and we're looking for next year what we can do different, better, or don't do, or whatever it is. So we're working on fair. Fair is actually one thing you do work throughout the whole year, 365 days a year.
What goes into choosing the performers for the main stage?
Well, it's you know, mostly a variety. You know, who you can get, who you can't get. You know, you got to find out who's traveling close to you. You know, close, I mean by like Idaho, Montana, Washington. You know, those were our partners that we partner up with groups that are coming through, try to. And it's hard because sometimes groups don't even want to play at fairs. You know, they got to decide if they're going to do the fair circuit or not, and this and that. So it's hard to do that. So we try to sign people as soon as we can, when we can.
And I know the economy, there's different stages, it seems like, where some years the pricing that musicians are asking for suddenly goes up a lot, or some years when things are a little tougher, maybe it comes down and you can get somebody a little bit bigger just because they don't have as many available shows.
Right. It depends. Right now, ever since the pandemic, it's skyrocketed, just like everything else. I mean, now it's, you know, bands we used to pay $75,000 to $100,000 for are now going for $150,000 to $180,000. So it's hard to find that mix and find the right routing and things like that so you can get the best price.
Well, and I know if people look around, statewide or Northwest media, they'll see that maybe some of your artists here, maybe in Northern Oregon the next night or Northern California the next night, because they've got to do it, because most of them aren't flying around, they're doing the buses.
Yep, doing the bus tour, and all of them this year, all three of our main headliners are traveling, so they'll have buses and semis.
For you guys, what's a typical day like during the fair?
Well, typical day for me is about 5 a.m., show up about 5 a.m., and just getting things ready and making sure everything's going right and take care of things that might have happened over the evening, that mishaps and whatnot, and just going until, you know, midnight, until midnight that day, and go home and do it all over again the next day.
What about you?
It's not quite as many hours, but it's still a lot. I'm usually there by 7:38, and same thing, making sure the office is ready to go for the day, and any place that we need help with, we just are getting ready for that as soon as we open, and then we stay open all day, and we're there till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night as well.
And you've really got a plan for just about anything, you know, going sideways, or even an internal issue, maybe a restroom decides to suddenly not work, or, you know, lots of things like that.
Right, yeah. You know, that's your biggest fear is when the drainage don't work right, or something's not working correctly, sewer or whatever. You know, it has happened, and things happen during where water lines break, and you're putting a lot of, it's like taking a whole city, or you know a whole city in one day of, you know, Sutherland and Winston, and putting it on your fairgrounds in one day and for 4 days in a row. And so it's a lot of people, it gets a lot of use, and the facilities are a little bit older than they were before, and we are working on that, but we make it through.
For you guys, especially with all the hours that you're putting in, what's your favorite parts of the fair, though?
My favorite part, just because I grew up in it, is 4-H and FFA. You know, I like that, and that's just because that's me, and that's what I grew up with. But I do like all the aspects of the fair, you know, the people watching and the, you know, people coming and talking to you about fair, about ideas and different things, and you know, every year is different. Every fair is different every year, and that's kind of exciting. It's kind of an exciting job because you're not doing the same thing all the time, and it's something different every day.
Sierra?
I'm a fair food person. I love the fair food. I also like to walk around and watch people. I love to walk around and watch, see the kids and all the fun that they're having, and the adults with their kids. And so for me, it's both. It's both the food and just getting to see other people having fun out there.
So are, like, diets suspended for Fair Week?
Absolutely.
Or the idea is maybe if you walk around, you'll walk enough of it off?
Yeah, that too. That too. But no, Fair Week's, you just eat what you want all week.
And, okay, the week after the fair, everybody's out of there, the vendors have all left, everything's taken down, let's put up special. What happens then?
The week after the fair, well, then the auto races start racing again, and different shows. We start having gun shows and things like that. You know, starts within a week after the fair, and then 2 or 3 weeks after that, we have events scheduled throughout the whole rest of the year.
Is summer the busiest season for use of the facility?
You know, if you count the fair, you know, it puts the most punishment on the facility. Yeah, the most use. But if you count the rental of the facility, the biggest time is January through May. That's our biggest rental. We're rented every weekend. Don't have a weekend available for much of anything. There's so many things going on throughout the spring.
Now, are a lot of those public things? Some of them private things?
Most of them are public things on the weekends. You know, your sportsman shows and your Christmas fairs and all your things like that, and spring fair and
horse
events, brew fest, and especially equestrian events every day in the wintertime. The equestrian facilities are all full with team roping and team penning and things like that. So, you know, we stay busy.
And how many people are on the fairground staff?
Right now, there is seven.
Man, that's a lot of work for seven people.
Right?
Yeah.
We're working on that, Kyle.
Now, you guys have both been there quite a while. Dan, how long have you been there?
25 years.
Wow. What about you, Sierra?
12.
So how did you end up coming there?
I was looking to move here, and I needed a job. And I saw the ad, and I just applied for it. And I was like, oh, we'll see how this works. And then I would say within, like, the first 6 months, I was hooked. I realized I loved it and love working there, and it's a blast. I work with great people, and it's a great part of the community.
All right, Dan Holtz and Sierra Keith, Douglas County Fairgrounds staff, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cal.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.